So today's scripture reading, the gospel reading is from the book of John, chapter 15, verse 1 to verse 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bear no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear more fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I keep my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer I call you my servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made well known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appoint you so that you may go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. This is the good news of Christ. Okay, let me set up. Okay, brothers and sisters, today's sermon is from Book of John, chapter 15, and from verse 1 to verse 8. Let's do a prayer first, then we will begin our sermon today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for Jesus Christ to save us. Thank you for your salvation. Lord, please open my mouth and give me the necessary gift to deliver the message that pleases you. And also, Lord, please open the ear of the audience and their hearts as well to well receive your message. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit be with us in this worship. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so this is a controller for the PowerPoint, and this is my timer. Hopefully, I can keep my time. Okay, in the beginning of July, Pastor Nate initiated a series of sermon. This sermon is the body of Christ. Then later on, Pastor Nate and Pastor Jesse, they keep preaching on that, and today, this sermon will be the last episode of this series. And I chose the theme is the vine, the branches, and the body of Christ. So, as I mentioned, I mean, today's sermon will be from Book of John, chapter 15, verse 1 to 8. And this is today's sermon outline. We will have an introduction, then I will do basic exegesis, and then the application, and the conclusion of my sermon, and the conclusion of the whole series. However, when I rehearsal myself, I found the application part, I mean, my sermon is relatively long, and I will keep this application to August 14, and I'm going to preach on the application of this passage on that day. Okay, now let's dive in. So for the basic exegesis, this section, I will have two parts. The first part, I will do a simple literary analysis. Then the second part, we will go through verse by verse. That's the reason I said that today's sermon may be a little bit longer than usual. However, I will do my best to keep in under 25 minutes or max 30 minutes. Okay, so brothers and sisters, please allow me to read one more time and to remind you what's the passage sounds like. And this time, I invite you, if it's possible, close your eyes and pay attention to the words the Lord says. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branches in me that bear no fruit. While every branch does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branches can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withered. Much such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So, brothers and sisters, when I prepared this sermon, I read over and over this passage. And I found the very outstanding feature of this little passage is repetitiveness. It seems like the Lord keep repeating a set of keywords: vine, branches, remain in me, and bear fruit. So if you keep reading over and over from verse 1 to verse 8, you will find there are two sets of this kind of repetitiveness. The first set is from verse 1 to verse 4. It says like this. It says, I'm the vine, and my Father is the gardener. The branches, if you are fruitless, you will be cut off. If you are fruitful, Lord will prune you and clean you up, and you will bear more fruit. Then in third verse, and Lord says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Then the Lord says, remain in me. Why? Why remain in you? Because no grape or no branch can bear fruit by itself unless you remain in the vine. And then the Lord says, neither can you to bear fruit by yourself. You must remain in me. This is the very first set. And then, oh, sorry, I forgot. So you can see I highlight the key words. So the second set, Lord seems to repeat again, but this time it's not only simple repeat, but with a progressively make it more clear. And you can see, Lord says in the verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Now it's clear. So like before, from verse 1 to verse 4, Lord didn't say who are the branches, but now Lord specifically, explicitly say, you are the branches. You are the branches, you, disciples. And remain in me. I'm the vine, and you are part of my body, and remain in me. And because you remain in me, you will bear fruit. If you don't remain in me, what's the ending while waiting for you? You will be like dead wood and be thrown into the fire and get burned. And here, Lord, again, progressively make it clear, remain in me, and my words will remain in you. And why my words remain in you? Because my words will guide you to do two things. The one thing will bear more fruit. The second thing, you remember my words, you keep my command, and you will be my disciple. The two things combined together will have one and the most important result. What was it? To glorify our Father. So this is when you read, I mean, a few times of this passage, you got this kind of impression. But with this impression, we immediately pose the question, why the Lord keep repeating this? So why the Lord keep repeating that? The simple answer is because this message the Lord trying to imprint on the heart of the disciple is so important. It's worth the repetitiveness. And in fact, to repeat, to imprint over and over and over on either heart of disciple or heart of children, this is a very command from our Lord. If you turn the book to Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 4 to 7, verse 4 to 7. And this passage actually is so well known in the Jewish world. How well known is like, so let me have an analogy. If John, book of John, chapter 3, 3:16, that's well known, that's the most well known scripture in Christian world. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the verse from 4 to 9. The Shema, O hear Israel, this passenger is like John 3:16 in Christian world. That's how famous in Jewish world. Because that passenger says, O hear Israel, your God is one. The Lord is one. Love your Lord with all your heart, all your strength, all your mighty. And then at verse 7, there is a very interesting word. In 95 version, NIV translate, imprint this on your children. So if you study, if you take a little bit closer look at the imprint or impress this word in Hebrew, this word actually, no matter English translation or Chinese translation, didn't catch the full meaning of this word. This word is a meaning like you do something once, over and over and over until the things impressed either on the paper or on the heart of the people. So later on in that same passage says, no matter you sit down, no matter you stand up, no matter you sleep, no matter you walk, talk, and tie it on your arm, and tie it on your head, and post on your doorpost. So this is how many times Lord want us as parents to impress the Lord's words on our children, also including us. So similarly, Lord Jesus trying to impress and trying to imprint, teaching diligently to his disciples says, okay, guys, listen, remain in me, remain in my word, and bear more fruit. I'm the vine, you are the branches. This is why the Lord repeat so many times. Okay, now let's pause a few seconds to soak in, whatever I just preached. And then we're going through the second part of today's sermon. We're going to go through the verse one by one. In verse 1, it says, I am the true vine. My Father is a gardener. In fact, Father be pictured as a gardener. It's not new. In book of Isaiah, chapter 27, and verse 3, it says this, sing about a fruit vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. So Lord pictured himself as the gardener, as the vine dresser. And also in this in this verse, the Lord Jesus says, I am the true vine. The true actually to the year of Jewish, to Jewish people year, this is like silver bullet because the Jewish people thought that they are the vineyard. But the Lord says, I am the true vine. In the second verse, it says, he cuts off every branches in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And after that, after we're reading this scripture, we probably will pose a question like, what is the fruit? What do you mean by fruit here? So we may interpret the fruit in three ways. The first way, like the good work. A lot of people say, oh, I being Christian, I have a good work. That's good. And the second one, in evangelical Christian world, bear fruit usually means you lead some non-Christian to the Lord. That's kind of a bearing fruit. However, never ever forgot one thing. There's another important set of fruit. As a disciple, we shall bear. What's the fruit? It's from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 to 23. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This set of fruit is a great indicator to show, to reflect the relationship between us and the Lord. So when you drive a car, you will see car control panel. There are lots of like a little icon to show you battery is okay, engine oil is okay, and the tire is okay. Those little indicators to tell you the healthy, to tell you the health of your car. Similarly, the analogy is similar. Our fruit, the fruit I just read to you, love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, those are the little indicators to reflect our relationship with the Lord. If we do have those indicators, good. If we don't, be very careful. Be very careful. Okay. Okay, now we're going to verse 3. You are already cleaned because of the word I have spoken to you. So we may ask a question. What does the clean mean here? The clean actually means, one of the interpretations, the clean means the Lord has cleaned the things that prevent the disciple to bear more fruit. And if you read the footnotes of NIV translation, you will see this clean and the last verse, prune, they actually have the same root. And then we may ask, why? Why the Lord says, you have been cleaned because my words. Here I make proclaim. The proclaim I made from a Hebrew, book of Hebrew, chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, is penetrated even into dividing soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts. So the proclaim I made is this. The Lord's living word can reach into the depths of each person, innermost soul and spirit, and having every person's hidden purpose revealed before God. You can hide from a human being. You can even hide from yourself. But whatever your inner thought, your purpose, your intention, it cannot hide from the Word, from the God. And the next question is, why can the Lord's words clean the disciple? Again, here I made another proclaim. Later on in book of John, chapter 16, the Lord says a talk about Holy Spirit and how the Lord's word can clean us by Holy Spirit. That's the reason Holy Spirit is so important to us and so important for Christians. We follow the Holy Spirit. It says here, when he comes, he means the Holy Spirit, he will expose the error of the godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. And later on in verse 13, it says, but when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. So Holy Spirit will guide us and into the truth. And the Holy Spirit will illustrate the Lord's words in our heart, then eventually we are getting close and close and close to for the truth. That is our goal. Verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branches can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is the very first time, I think, to show up, remain in me. And remain that word. Oh, well, yep. Remain that word. It's not only simply what shallowly mean believing in Jesus Christ. This is a very basic, this is a minimum. However, remain, this word, or meno, that's a Greek word, that really means we also have a deeper meaning, deeper relationship. It's like a union with our Lord, with Christ. So that's the real meaning behind the remain. So in other words, Jesus wants us to know once we abide in Jesus, the built-in relationship is unshakable, is unchangeable, and is not alterable. It's unalterable. As we can see, God the Father abided in Christ in chapter 14, and then the Lord will abide. I mean, the Lord will abide, the Christ also will abide in his disciple. Disciple abide in Christ. These dynamic relationship will help our spiritual life to grow, and we eventually will grow as a Lord-pleased disciples. So remain, this word is very important. And actually, on August 14, start from this word, and we will do the application. We will talk about this word later on in depth. Verse 5 is relatively simple. It's very clear. I'm the vine, you are the branches. And if a man remain in me, I'm in him. He will bear more fruit. Apart from me, you cannot do nothing. You can do nothing. And in verse 6, this if anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branches that thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. This verse, I'm going to spend a little bit more time on it. Because this verse, when I read this verse, immediately feeling is, Lord, please help me. Do not be fruitless. Help me to be fruitful, because I don't want to become the dead wood branch and be picked up and thrown into fire, got burned. This is one thing. However, if we, on the other hand, if we go deeper, we may want to ask a question. What does Jesus mean by this analogy? Christian-like branches. And if you become fruitless and pick up and throw into the fire, what does that mean? That means, how can we interpret that analogy? So historically, there are two ways to interpret, two interpretation of this message. The first way, it's Arminian or Wesleyan. So Wesleyan, our theology is Arminian theology. So in Arminian theology, we believe only God can initiate this salvation. Only God can give us the salvation. However, as a human being, we can choose to respond to God and cooperate with God to receive the salvation. In other words, later on, you may turn your back to God and walk away from his saving grace. So as a result, you may lose your salvation. The second part, from Calvinism. Calvinism If you read the Calvinism doctrines, you will know there's a perseverance of a saint. So basically, in a super oversimplified word, is that once you're saved, you will be saved forever. We're always saved. So which means you probably will never lose your salvation. But there is a condition to Calvinism's teaching, like once you're saved, always saved, is for some people, like Judah, in the beginning, they never ever received salvation. So as a result, even somebody pretend to be Christian for a while, and then later on they become dead wood or become fruitless, they could lose their salvation, be picked up and thrown into fire. This is the very first way to interpret this passage, lose or not lose salvation. The second way, people arguing this passage is, okay, Christian will never lose your salvation. This message is not talking about Christian, you lose your salvation. However, if you become fruitless, you may lose your reward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse 12 to 15 says, if anyone builds on this foundation, use gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will revealed with a fire, and the fire will test and the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it burns up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So this is the second interpretation. And I will leave how you receive the interpretation to the lead of Holy Spirit to yourself. And in verse 7, it says, if you remain in me and my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This verse is talking about prayer. This verse illustrates the power when you become a person abiding in Christ, when you pray, the power of the prayer. This verse will illustrate that. Let me use John Wesley's comments to comment on this verse. Prayer themselves are fruit of faith, and they produce more fruit. So the last verse of today's sermon, it says, this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. In the Westminster Large Catechism, the very first question is to say this, what's the chief and the highest purpose of a man? The answer is to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. So if anybody asks, hey, Pastor Abe, how can I glorify God? Or any Christian ask a question, hey, Pastor, you always say how to glorify God. How can we glorify God? He's already big enough. Two things. One thing, remain in Christ. And the second thing is to be his disciple. Bear more fruit and be his disciple. That's the two ways we can glorify God. And as John Wesley commented, to be a disciple of Christ is both foundation and the height of Christianity. Okay, now we're going to do the conclusion. The conclusion is very simple for today's message. We are the branches. We are the body of Christ. We must remain in Christ through the Holy Spirit and to bear more fruit. That's the simple theme and the simple conclusion. And the conclusion of the whole theory. In the beginning of the theory, Pastor Nate laid out three foundations: transformation, unification, participants. And the following 2 weeks, Pastor Nate preached on the transformation and the unification. And the last week, Pastor Jesse preached on participation. And Pastor Jesse says, each one of us, we have our gift. And no gift is so insignificant. Every gift is very, very important to the body of Christ. And this week, I like to say that TUP, basically the three words, all that things will happen only and only after you connect and keep remaining in Christ through the Holy Spirit. That's the key thing. Abide in the Lord and bear more.